This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:33. Energy Corporation of America still hasn't decided whether to turn one of its former gas wells in northern West Virginia into an underground injection well. Beneduccio reports.
ECA is thinking about putting an underground injection well in Preston County near Decker's Creek. The company is still investigating this proposal and hasn't come to a conclusion about what it will do. This possibility has upset many recreationists who use and want to preserve the Decker's Creek watershed. Earlier this year, the Friends of Decker's Creek held a public meeting about the proposal. The group's executive director, Elizabeth Wiles, says it would harm the watershed, which is bouncing back from years of acid mine drainage problems.
We have implemented a number of water quality improvement projects that have shown that water quality is improving, fish and insect populations are coming back, especially in the areas upstream from where this well would be located.
If ECA decides to go through with this project, it would be establishing a Class 2 injection well, which basically takes brine water and fluids from natural gas drilling operations and injects the waste into the ground. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
In just a few weeks, season 4 of Downton Abbey will once again steal the hearts and minds of beloved fans across the U.S. But of course, what we know as Downton is actually the Highclere Castle with a history all of its own. Ashton Mara recently spoke with its current owner, the Countess of Carnarvon, about her newest book, Lady Catherine, the Earl, and the Real Downton Abbey, and gives us a sneak peek at how the holidays are celebrated inside the castle.
This morning we're chatting with the Countess of Carnarvon, and today we're speaking about your book, Lady Catherine, the Earl, and the Real Downton Abbey. Let's start very simply. Why did you want to write this book? What did you hope the reader would take from it?
Well, the first reason I wanted to write it was because I'd written one called Almina, Lady Almina in the Real Downton Abbey. And it was about an extraordinary woman who turned this castle into a proper hospital in the First World War. And I'd written that one as Downton went into the First World War and pretended Highclere was a convalescent home. So spurred on by that, I wrote about Almina and a woman who really changed people's lives and tried to make them better. So I felt very passionate, and that ended in 1923. I then thought, well, actually, I think I've got a fantastic story through the 20s and 30s, a very different time, and then into the Second World War. So I elected to define that as a time span and then explore Catherine, Geordie's grandmother, about whom I knew very little. So that was really the nascence of it.
Some of the storylines we see in your books are similar to what we see on the show Downton Abbey.
I think some of the storylines are similar. I try actually not to discuss what I'm doing with Julian Fellowes, because I know him and he and his wife are good friends, so I prefer to ask him about how his garden's doing than discuss what he's writing, what I'm writing. So it's better to, I think, go separately. But naturally, we have had quite a few similar storylines. I've got some lovely naughty valets in Catherine who are hilarious. Obviously, problems within marriage and things like that. He's chosen more modern storylines, I think, in Downton, particularly in the series you're about to see. But I get so caught up in what really happened in the letters, the stories, the anecdotes, that I don't need to look anywhere else.
With the coming of the new season of Downton Abbey, I did hear, and I'm not sure where, that you all continue to live in the home as they shoot the show. Is that correct?
No, we do. We stay in the house. My husband tends to let the film crew in because he's better in the mornings than I am.
So do you find that you're a lot of times watching these scenes as they unfold and are being shot, or do you try to stay out of the way?
I don't consciously try to do either. There's a lot of meetings or other jobs that we're doing at the same time. If I'm making myself a cup of tea, then I often walk past the saloon where they're often shooting. They use the house a lot, the corridors, the stairs, the drives, the halls, the library, the drawing room. So you can get kind of stuck when they're shooting a scene. They have a tea urn out the front of the castle in the afternoon, which I find frightfully convenient. I don't like their polystyrene cups, but I appear with my own china mug because it saves making the tea. So there we go.
I assume this time of year is very gorgeous on the grounds. Can you describe for us how you all decorate and go about preparing for the holidays?
Well, we pulled in a rather a large Christmas tree about the beginning of December. So we have a huge Christmas tree standing in the middle of the castle in the saloon, in the heart of it. So that's really the center of it. And then we've got garlands of lights and greenery coming down the stairs. It's such a Victorian house, and the colors are so red and green already that somehow you don't need to do that much to it in order to make it Christmassy.
So will you be having any of those lavish parties we all like to watch on the show?
I think parties are very important. And it's very important to laugh and share things with friends. So we do have, I've got a reeling party coming up in January, which is great fun, Scottish reeling, because I love Scottish reeling. And so we do different things around different events, or perhaps around cricket, or perhaps around racing weekends. Not all the time, they're just scattered through the year in between filming and everything else that's going on, so it's quite busy.
Well, Lady Carnarvon, I really appreciate your time again this morning. Thanks for speaking with us about your book and kind of giving us a little bit of insight into your home.
Thank you very much for asking me.
The newest season of Downton Abbey premieres on West Virginia Public Broadcasting Sunday, January 5th. But you can enjoy a sneak preview in Beckley and Morgantown tonight. A preview party will be held at the Raleigh Playhouse and Theater at 6:30. In Morgantown, the Downton Abbey preview will be held at the WVU Creative Arts Center in the Davis Theater at 7:30 tonight. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:40. Mostly cloudy today with a chance of rain or snow. Temperatures in the 30s and 40s. Snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches are possible in the northern mountains and the Potomac Highlands. It'll be windy with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Cloudy overnight with rain or scattered snow throughout the evening. Overnight lows will be in the teens and 20s. Windy with gusts of up to 40 miles per hour. Additional snow accumulations of 3 to 5 inches in the northern counties tonight. Mostly sunny tomorrow with temperatures in the 20s and 30s.
Support provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit wvdrs.org for employer services. And support for NPR comes from W.W. Norton & Company, celebrating 90 years as an independent, employee-owned book publisher, online at www.norton.com.
This year's West Virginia Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony featured special guests Curtis and Friendly Womack. The brothers were cousins to the late Solomon Womack, a founding member of the Swan Silvertones. The Silvertones were inducted into the Hall of Fame. Glennis Board spoke with Friendly and Curtis and brings us highlights from that conversation.
All night, all day, the angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, the angels watching over me.
My name is Friendly Womack. I was named after my father, and we're accepting an award for a cousin by the name of Solomon Womack that was with the Swan Silvertone Singers.
The angels watching over me.
My name is Curtis Womack. Glad to be here, have this reunion with my brother. and with the people of Charleston, where I was born originally, saw the first light of day.
Telling me there's work to do. I took my master's hand.
My father worked in the coal mines, as well as his brothers, and that's where everything began, because him and his brothers sang before we did. They were the Womack brothers before we were the Womack brothers. Yeah, I think watching people like Solomon Womack and Clyde Jeter and Sam Cooke and different gospel artists that were of notoriety at the time, and watching them do their craft made me, I know, myself, and probably Curtis too, and the rest of my brothers, want to do music.
Yeah, well, we didn't think of it in that way. We were just kids playing, you know, imitating them and stuff like this. And my dad had a group, and he had a guitar because he played too. And that's what we did, you know, when they left and brought back those pictures, those A-Vantin glasses. We want to know who was whom and who was. And one day, Saul came in to the house, and Swan Silvertones were in town. Well, we was fascinated with him purely because we knew he was. And he had that voice. Even talking, you could hear. You know, we was all excited about him from that point on. And he was showing us songs. The older groups would show us different harmony, different songs, because we could really harmonize as kids. You know, we could fall in line.
He knows when I'm lying. Oh, he knows every time I'm wrong. I'm so glad he knows everything I do. And he knows my secrets too. But he's somewhere, I know, I believe that he's somewhere waiting for me. Yes, he is waiting for me.
We're always at different churches. Uh-huh. So when you go to a church, especially when you're talking about Baptist churches and Pentecostal churches, there are a lot of talented people in there, so you really have to be up on your chops to go in there and play.
And but you got that feeling, and that's where your chops don't even matter, because what you say comes from the heart and reaches.
Right. It's the most joyous thing in the world to be able to make music, to be able to make people feel what you feel.
The angels watching over me. All night.
It's a blessing because it's not everyone that can do it, vocally or with an instrument. So when you can do that vocally and do it with an instrument, you can communicate.
Some people had a gift of going beyond that. It is not how good they sing, but they have. And we heard it, they used to call it soul. When the first time I heard that word was soul. And I ain't bragging, he said, I had a lot of soul. He said, this kid got a lot of soul. In other words, you make them want to cry.
Master's hand. That Christian band singing all night.
It is not just directed toward one race of people.
Right.
Everybody can have it. So it's just a feeling that you can relate and give to other people.
You
that's
know
what
it's right
is.
Away.
One more time.
Watching over me.
Curtis and Friendly Womack performing there with the Reverend R.L. Bush during this year's West Virginia Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.